This is a place.
This is a place.
This is a place. We want to talk about. This is a place.
Thank you for listening to This Is A Place podcast. My name is Brandon, and I'm here with a man who doesn't take doesn't take the podcast for granted. Nate.
That's right. I also don't take granite. I left that up to the pioneers.
I used to have a rod collection. Had a lot of sedimental value.
I have a rock collection as well. I've got Metallica, Megadeth, Def Leppard.
Collection. I just heard about this band, Metallica. They're awesome. Where have they been my whole life?
I've been trying to convert you for years.
Aren't they a new band?
They're pretty new. They've been around since, I think, 83.
I will say, I have been listening to that song. I even tried to play it a little bit on my guitar, but it is very fast.
It is fast.
That which we are referring to is the
Metallica Master song, of Puppets.
Master of Puppets from Stranger Things.
And to correct myself, 1981 is when they formed.
Okay.
But it wasn't a huge... I've seen Metallica in concert, I think, 3 times now. But before going to my first concert, Metallica, have I told you that experience?
Vaguely remember that.
It was a few months before I entered the MTC. I think it was the fall of 98. And I entered the MTC in January of 99. They had it at Weber State's football stadium. To go back to the song, another tangent, a little tangent about the song. I wasn't a big fan of that song until I watched them play it live. So I'm sure it had the same effect on people watching Stranger Things. You're like, man, just a little different with the crowd or something going on, right? Rather than just listening to it on the radio, your headphones. Right. So I became a fan after that. But I want to say Jerry Cantrell opened up for Metallica. And this might make the episode PG-13, but a girl down the front row lifted up her shirt and flashed Jerry.
I remember the story now.
And he thought it was cool, obviously. And we were up on the bleachers on like the top row because we were just kids. We didn't have money. We couldn't really see what's going on.
I still would be in the top row.
No matter what. Yeah. But going back to the story, Brandon.
Well, so back to the story, please.
The girl flashed him. He's like, that's cool. Do it again. So she does it again. And then another girl flashes him. And then this whole flashing war went on throughout the whole night. It was just like a cool thing. Not just with him, but through Metallica and everything. Like every 5 minutes, a girl would flash the crowd. And like I said, not a big deal for us because we couldn't see anything. It was down on the field mostly. And then it kind of made its way up to the stadium or the stairs. And we're just like, but no offense to the girls that were near us that decided to do it, but they should not have done it. it was just funny. And I just remember going home and listening to the radio and the DJs talking about how awesome the concert was. And then they started going off about the flashing. So it wasn't necessarily how awesome the music was, but the flashing was what everybody talked about. Yeah. That was my first experience with Metallica. Made me a little nervous going to metal concerts after that because you didn't know what you're getting yourself into. But I just remember going back to the song Master of Puppets. So Master of Puppets and Fuel. When you watch Lars, I think's his name, on the drums, play those two songs, it gets you so pumped up. Like you just want to go fight somebody because it looks like he's in a fist fight with a drum set. It's so awesome. It's so fun. He's just kicking the crap out of the drum sets and they're pretty upbeat songs. So the whole thing, Master of Puppets, when the crowd's chanting, it's just fun. It's just good, clean fun. You probably won't hear it at a church dance or a high school dance for that matter. Maybe you will now because of Stranger Things.
Right.
But your meme you sent me a few weeks ago was pretty interesting to think about. how much time Eddie had to figure out Master of Puppets.
Right.
And I forgot about those days because the internet really didn't get popular until like the late 90s. And I remember like kind of changed my life from playing from the guitar. So when I took guitar lessons when I was 12, started when I was 12. And then when I started getting decent enough to be able to play songs, my guitar lessons insisted of me going to my teacher with a cassette tape of a song I wanted to learn. And we would sit there for a half an hour of him just trying to figure out how to play that song. So really I was paying my mom, I should say, or my parents were paying for me to go have somebody figure out the tabs to a song. Tabs. Which nowadays you can figure out in 10 seconds, tabs to 30 songs, and they're probably more correct than what we were figuring out. So yeah, I would sit there for half an hour of him trying to figure out the tabs of the song. And then he'd go over like his, how you play it for a minute. And then I'd go home and practice that song for a week and then come back. And then we'd go over it and then we'd get a new song. But I mean, just the, how much faster I probably would learn how to play the guitar or songs if the internet was around back then.
You could have been to Metallica. If you'd have had the internet back then.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Easy peasy. But if Eddie really did sit down with all his busy schedule and figured out how to play Master Puppets, then it's a sad, sad thing that, is it safe enough now to say, if you haven't seen it, sorry.
So I will say this, Nate. I still probably won't be the biggest Metallica fan, but it has led me to listen to a little more than normal.
Has opened your, what's the word I'm looking for?
Broaden my horizons.
Broaden your horizons. Which is a good thing. Even Metallica, there's been a lot of hardcore Metallica fans getting upset, like saying you're, you know, basically bandwagoning if you're like Metallica now because of Stranger Things, and Metallica right. spoke out, said, we don't care if you've been listening for 40 years or 40 hours, everybody's welcome in Metallica's kingdom. So
the sad thing is probably the reason why I don't like Metallica is because of those type of hardcore fans, those gatekeepers.
Oh yeah, I mean, we could talk a whole episode on Metallica, and I remember the Black Album came out and how upset they were, the hardcore fans, saying that they sold out. That's probably their best album ever. One of the best albums ever. So.
But we're not here to talk about Metallica.
No. Yeah. That's a rabbit hole I could talk about forever.
We're here to talk about Texas.
Yes, we are.
Because I went to Texas for my first time just last week.
For work, right?
For work. Yep, work. I did get to do a little bit of sightseeing one night after work was finished. And so I was pretty happy about that because I've always wanted to go to San Antonio, check out the Alamo.
Did you help Pee Wee find his bicycle? Did you go into the basement?
I was there, but I didn't see no bicycle. He had the Alamo. It was cool. A little underwhelming. I was there after it had already closed, so I didn't get to do a tour, but it was just cool to see and be there. Where it all happened, and I'm going to be honest, I don't really know what happened there. That's a blind spot in my history. But I did go to a really cool museum, and it was kind of an odd, I feel here in Utah, we've got a lot of Old West history, right?
Right.
And so we tend to focus on the Utah stuff, but just realizing how much Western history there is outside of Utah was kind of a eye-opener for me, because as I was in this museum, it's called the Buckhorn Saloon. It is really cool. They've got a huge collection of taxidermy. They've got everything. They've got giraffes, elephants, hippos, like you name it, they've got it. But they also had a Texas Ranger section. And so reading through all the Texas Ranger stories and stuff, it's just kind of interesting to, I kept expecting something about Utah to come up, but of course it's not because it's Texas. And I got to do the River Walk, which I've always really thought was a cool thing.
I've only been to the Dallas airport, so that's as close as I've been, I think, two or three times. So I've never been sightseeing in Texas. I got some friends down there that I keep saying I'm going to go visit. And then I never do, like everything else.
Once we get our YouTube channel that we've been planning for months, once it expands, we're probably going to have to make our way down to Texas eventually. So
Texas is so big. Chance.
It is so big. I saw a good chunk of it in 2 short days. Because I flew into Dallas, and then I flew to San Antonio, and then I drove to Houston. So I saw everything, I felt like, but out of the big cities except for Austin. It is a big place. And there's a lot of Texas pride there.
Well, Texas could vote to secede from the U.S. in 2023.
Really?
How would that work?
We better get our passports.
I know, but like, what does that mean? Like, say you live in Texas right now and they become their own nation. Does that mean you have to get a passport to go to the other states now? I could see it happening where they vote for it, but I don't see it ever actually happening.
Yeah, agreed.
Until the zombie apocalypse happens, then
nothing really will matter anyway.
It doesn't matter at that point. So,
well, back to Utah. We decided to talk about, if you don't know about it, off the beaten path sight to see here in Utah. Probably not something that everyone goes and checks out, right?
No, I think if you live in that area, you probably know about it. I'd probably go visit it, but I don't see people driving out of their way. It's a popular place
to take pictures too, I think.
Absolutely. During summers in high school, I would substitute teach at Jordan Valley, which is a special needs school. They did summer programs there.
I didn't know you did substitute teaching.
Uh-huh. Well, it was for special needs kids. So basically, it was just babysitting for the summer, you know. It was fun. And then a few times when we kind of had the higher functioning class kids, the older kids, we took them on a bus field trip over to the Temple Quarter. So every time I think about it now, moving forward, I always remember that visit there. So it was a fun place to go explore, and it was relatively safe to take a bunch of kids.
I always get my canyons mixed up. Is it Little Cottonwood Canyon?
Little.
So at the mouth of Little Cottonwood Canyon, not too far in, is the Temple Quarry, where they got the stones to build the Salt Lake Temple. The pioneers, where they got the stones.
Well, and they would have to use dynamite to blow up the rock, rather than using their hammers and chiseling it out of the mountain. So they start using dynamite. And so if you keep your eye open around there, you can still see dynamite holes or holes that they chiseled to put in the dynamite. So it's kind of fun.
A lot of signs around that you can read about some of the history. It talks about how history left its mark on Little Cottonwood Canyon in the late 1800s and early 1900s. This was a busy place. Mining, lumbering, and quarrying drew hundreds, even thousands of people to towns that have since died.
They're dead.
Those towns are dead. But these towns were Graniteville, Wasatch, Hogern, Tannersville, Central City, Alta, and Emmaville are gone. But the stories and evidence of occupation remain. Mormon pioneers used the site to quarry rock used in building the Salt Lake Temple. As you walk the trail, you will see the marks of quarrying left on the rocks. Enjoy learning more about the canyon resources people relied upon for hundreds of years and will rely upon for many more years to come. And then you got a pretty big trail to explore.
I never explored the trail. I think people mountain bike that trail as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't do the whole trail, I don't think. We just kind of saw the highlights.
Well, they have like a little small path you can kind of walk around the area really quick, and then they have that amphitheater
sponsored by Chevron,
so you can go sit down and have a little meeting, I guess, a little talent show.
Maybe that's where we should have our first meetup.
Should
We're meeting at the temple, Corey. Have you ever seen the movie Legacy?
Oh, yes. I quote whenever, it all the time.
Whenever I've gone here, think about this, I remember that scene where the guy's doing the... I wonder if they filmed it there. Because he's, like, digging out the granite or whatever, and then he gets injured. What happens?
Oh, I don't know.
Is there, like, an explosion he gets hurt or something, like, falls on him? I can't remember. It would have been much cooler if they actually filmed it on site. I don't know if they did or not. It's a great movie. I think that movie merits a whole episode of its own.
Yes. My favorite quote from that movie is when he's going off to fight the war. And then he says, "I'll see you in Zion. And she goes, "If we ever do meet again, it will be in Zion's," or something like that. So I quote that all the time. And that's probably not verbatim what he says, but I say that to people all the time. Like, if we ever do meet again, it will be Zion's.
If you Google the Temple Quarry, the main things that come up are from trail websites talking about how it's a good place to go and walk / hike / bike. So a good place for that and to get some good history. I think the most recognizable and maybe my favorite part about the Temple Quarry is the quarry itself, obviously, with all the big rocks that you can jump on. And I didn't even realize this. You said that this fills up with water during the year?
It's the river, right? That runs down the mountain?
I had no idea.
So
there was no water when we were there, just barely, the other day.
700 days ago.
Is that how long ago it was?
I don't know.
I'm 98% sure that we did family pictures here when I was in high school. So I'll have to dig out those pictures. But, I mean, it's kind of nothing like you've seen before. It looks like a riverbed. But you just got all these big white rocks everywhere. The stones up on the side.
It's a fun place to visit. It's kind of a fun... You got little kids.
Yeah, then you want to get outside.
It's a good place to go visit. Maybe even on a Sunday drive type situation. And then if you just go up the road a little bit further, right, you've got the vault that you can't get into. So yeah. You can at least see it.
You can see the vault.
From the street. Then you head up a little further, you got Tanner's Flat. Then head up a little further, you got Snowbird. A little further, you got Alta. A little further, you got Secret Lake. This is our third episode of Little Cotton Canyon.
Oh, man, it is. We've been to Little Cottonwood a lot.
And we've skipped over Snowbird and Alta. So we'll have to...
And you go to Snowbird quite frequently, so
I do.
It's a travesty that we have skipped over.
And yet, Big Cottonwood Canyon, no love.
Is there anything cool in Big Cottonwood Canyon?
Oh yeah, you've got Brighton, you got Solitude, you've got Silver Lake. We should go play the disc golf course up at Solitude. Do an episode on that. They have that kind of newer resort at Solitude that's kind of trying to be like Snowbird's, resort with condos and all that good stuff. And then you can also take the path that takes you from Big Cottonwood over to Park City. That's a fun one. Guardsman Pass, that's what I thought it was. Would be recommended in passenger cars. I did that in high school by accident, but I went from Park City to Big Cottonwood. Reminds me a little bit of the road to go from basically Copperton over to Tooele, Butterfield Canyon Road, kind of the same deal.
Right.
But I feel like Guardsman
the whole time.
I feel Guardsman's a little more choppy. So like the passenger car, really? Not so much.
It's funny. We talk about we've done so many episodes in Little Cottonwood, but there's still so much nature stuff we haven't even explored yet on the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, you could really make a podcast dedicated just to the nature stuff in Utah. We're just chock full of it.
We're just too lazy.
Too lazy.
But we've made it to the bottom and the Temple Quarry. That's what's important.
We've made it to the bottom. We've made it to the bottom of the canyon. We've made it to the top. Well, did you know Secret Lake? I think it's blocked off this year.
Really?
Because they're putting in like a new ski lift or something, so you can't hike it. Really? My understanding, yeah. Well, at least like a couple months ago. Could be easier like to go do a hike or two when we go up in June to visit the Iron Blossom and Snowbird.
Yeah.
And I looked it up and it said it was not available. There's other paths you can do, but not the Secret Lake one. I'm ready for the fall to not be hot anymore, but at the same time, I'm sad. That's, well, your kids are home no matter what, but they're not really going to school yet. In a couple of years, they will be. But I'm just sad.
They never leave. They're always here.
They're always there. It's a weird feeling, like the first week of school, because I work from home mostly, kind of like you do. But that first week, there's nobody home. I'm like, it's just so quiet. And then you just get used to it and you love it. And then they're home from school for like vacation or the weekend. You're like, can't wait for school to start. But same time, I love it when my kids are home for summer break for the stuff that we get to do. But I feel like the summer's been going so fast and that I feel a little bit guilty because we haven't been doing as much as we normally do.
One thing we need to make sure we do, we were thinking about doing a whole month of water parks, but realized we have no time to do that. But we got to get at least one water park in before this summer's over. What do you think?
Yeah, one, possibly two. I know I'll probably at least take my kids to Laguna Beach once before it closes. I'd really like to use our Get Out Pass. We need Get Out Pass to be one of our sponsors. I feel like,
yeah, I just bought my Get Out Pass.
Or at least have them on. But I want to go visit Cowabunga Bay. And then I would think it'd be fun to go hit up Summit.
Splash Summit.
Splash Out, it's called. The old Raging Waters. So it's been a few years since we've been there.
Raging Waters South.
Seven Peaks South, whatever they changed it to. But
hey, and we've even got one real close here that we can go check out. Chompers Cove.
What?
Yeah, it Kern's Ochre. That's what they call it, Chompers Cove.
Oh, the outdoor pool? Yeah, I just saw in one of the coupon magazines they sent in the mail a free pass to the outdoor pool. I've never been there. I think that'd be fun. We go to Taylorsville Pool quite often this summer. I think we've been twice so far this year.
I'm going to commit us to one. If we get to two, great. But I'm going to just say one.
One. We'll do one episode.
Do one episode. Yeah, there you go.
But whether or not we go to multiple parks is the other question.
Yes, indeed.
Especially since it's so hot. So hot right now.
Got to cool off some way. And pickleball is not the answer, Nate.
Oh, no. It's like Club Pickleball opened up in Sandy. I think I probably mentioned that five times already. I'm a member. It's great. It works just fine. The problem is that they're missing a couple parts for their AC units. So it is so hot and muggy in there. Like you just sweat buckets. But the rumor is that they're fixing it today or this week sometime. So that should be a place to go cool off and play pickleball.
Well, as I mentioned, I do have my Get Out Pass, and that affords me one visit to Club Pickleball. Yeah. So one of these days I'll have to go over when it's finally the AC's working. We'll check it out.
If you want to lose like 5 pounds of sweat in like 2 hours, then that's one thing to do. There's pros and cons to it, right? That's what I've been saying. It's like, it's a good thing because when I go there, you get the extra calories burned from how hot it is. And that's the real reason I play, is for the exercise. And two, it's fun.
I'll catch on one of these days.
So, and then we need to have an episode talking about the summer movies. So we'll have to have one of those pretty soon.
Yeah. Yeah, we've gone through a bit of a lull this last couple weeks. We've been a little busy. And we're probably still going to be busy, but we'll keep coming at it with some quality episodes for you.
Some semi-quality.
Semi-quality.
Some time fillers for you.
But hey, when it's spooky season again, you know that's where we thrive.
Oh my goodness. I saw yesterday, what's the lotion place? Is it Bath and Body Works?
The what?
The lotion.
Oh yeah.
Hand lotion?
Bath and Body Works.
Yep. Yeah. Their advertisement yesterday was for kind of Halloween-ish. Like they're bringing back some of their Halloween scents today. So I'm like, ooh, they're already advertising for Halloween and it's only July.
That's when it starts, Nate. Once July 4th is done, it's Halloween time.
Okay, real quick. Quick story. Did a pickleball tournament last week in Farmington. Stinking hot. but they had a huge long sidewalk and it had a bunch of those street lights on it. So about 100 yards away, and when it got dark, it was dusk, there was this guy, and he just stood there with his back turned to us. Actually, I think he was looking at us. I couldn't tell. He was so far away. Just stood there for like 20 minutes. And I kept telling my partner, I'm like, oh, I think Mike Myers is down there staring at us. So let's be careful when we leave the park tonight. It was seriously, I'm like, this is how horror movies start, is the guy standing in the distance underneath like a street light, just staring at people.
So for Halloween Part 3, doesn't take place in Haddonfield. It takes place in Farmington.
Farmington.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Close to Lagoon. Makes sense. Like, he could see Lagoon right across the street.
I imagine Mike Myers would like Lagoon.
I'm sure he would.
Good place to find some teens to, you know, slaughter.
Slaughter. Get a slaughter on.
Well, I think this episode rocked.
It was solid.
Thanks for listening to This Is a Place podcast.
See you next week.